It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Here we go. Hour number 2 of the Rob Brown Show starts now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Fan Upstate. How do you do? Happy Tuesday to you. Happy Election Day. Happy, maybe not, more importantly, happy college football playoffs poll number 1 day. Happy NFL trade deadline day. If players shall be moved around the league, and I suspect that there will be a few. If players are going to move around the league, today's the day that they will be moved, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to talk coming up today about some potential buyers and sellers around the National Football League. We'll make our predictions and projections for the college football playoff poll that will drop this evening as well. Our first look at the early field for the inaugural 12-team playoff. Who's in, who's out, who might be and who might not be there when it is all said and done. We're going to get to that coming up a little bit later on in the radio broadcast. We'll talk some college basketball as Clemson and South Carolina men's basketball both opened their season last night. Tigers went out and did exactly what they were supposed to. The Gamecocks did not at all. Bad start for the Garnet and Black as they drop one to the North Florida Ospreys last night. We'll get into that and a whole lot more. But, dear friends, it is 7:02 in the morning. You inch ever closer to that 8 o'clock bell ringing. You inch ever closer to having to open that email inbox for the first time on a Tuesday a.m. You inch ever closer to that first break of the day. That break of the day where you're going to walk down the hallway down to the break room. You're going to take that big styrofoam cup. You're going to fill it up with water. And you're going to use that as your excuse to start talking sports with Frank from accounting. Big dork, real quiet, kind of weird, but loves him some football. Frank's always got that analytical approach to the game. Big numbers guy, big stats guy. Knows that the story of the game gets told in the numbers, not in the narratives. And if you're going to talk to Frank, well, you got to be able to go toe-to-toe, mano-a-mano with everything that's happening in the world of sports. And that, my dear friends, is why you need this. It is the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, the top 3 sports stories that you need to know about before you get to the office this a.m. and start talking sports with your coworkers or your manager. If, you know, you got one of those that's real cool and he's like, hey, come on down. Don't talk. 10 minutes. 10 minutes. Don't tell anybody you're in here. Just take 10 minutes. Come talk. Well, you don't. I mean, you want them to want you to come back for more, right? Let's dive right in. Item numero uno. Week, whatever it is, 9, 10. I don't even know. It's all a blur. And the National Football League came to its conclusion. Last night, the Kansas City Chiefs at home in Arrowhead, Kansas City, Missouri, taking on Tampa Bay, Kerr Mayfield, and the Buccaneers needed overtime, but the Chiefs get it done. They improved to 8-0, 4-0 at the hizzle for shizzle as Mahomes and Kelsey and Kareem and Nuke all find ways to figure it out and take a 30-24 win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Patrick Mahomes, 34 of 44, 291, 3-tutty performance at a number 15. 106 on the ground and a touch to show for it out of Kareem Hunt. Travis Kelce is awake and alive. The century mark last night, he did miss out on scoring the game-winning touchdown in front of Her Highness Taylor Swift, who was in attendance yesterday evening by about a yard shy, and the OT there from TK getting the game winner. They didn't want it. They didn't need it. They score on the very next play from a yard out, and the Chiefs stay perfect. Travis Kelce, 100 yards receiving, but it was DeAndre Hopkins, D-Hop, a.k.a. Nuke, that was the big dog last night. 8 grabs, 86 yards. 2 of them found the back of the end zone. That pass that he caught, Lonzo, over Antoine Winfield, was one of the most.
About the one where there were 3 defenders? That one?
Dime!
Yeah, yeah, that was a good pass and a great catch. Took a lot of concentration. That's what you expect from Hopkins. He's been that good. And I've seen things where he's being interviewed afterwards and almost crying because he's finally playing with a good quarterback.
They pointed out last night that DeAndre Hopkins, I believe that DeAndre Hopkins has now caught touchdowns from more quarterbacks than any receiver in history. He's got 80 touchdowns from 14 different quarterbacks.
The majority of those were probably in Houston.
Yeah.
Remember, they went through a ton of quarterbacks when he was in Houston before he went to Arizona.
There were 2 things that happened last night. Number one, I have no doubt DeAndre Hopkins at some point fell to his knees, looked towards the football gods, and went, "Finally!" Like that scene from Shawshank Redemption, you know? Like it was raining in KC. I imagine Nuke hit the parking lot and reenacted Andy Dufresne in the parking lot in the rain. I also think that every single NFL fan watching D-Hop do D-Hop things last night, all my bros hate the Titans now. All my bros, you gave Patrick Mahomes DeAndre Hopkins for damn near free. Are we serious? Tennessee, what are we doing? D-Hop shows the value last night, 86 yards, 2 touchdowns in that one. Mahomes, 291 yards passing. The Chiefs ran for $124, kept Tampa Bay to just 95 yards on the ground and 200 through the air. Baker did have 2 touchdowns last night. One went to Cade Otton. The other went to Ryan Miller, the backup tight end. But Kansas City, in the overtime period, lose the coin toss, hand it to Kansas City. The Chiefs just roll on down, pop it in, and take that dub. Let's move on to item number 2. The men's college basketball season is officially underway, ladies and gentlemen. And let us begin in lovely Clemson, South Carolina, where the Charleston Southern Buccaneers paid a visit to Los Tigres and walked out with a fat L. Clemson, 91-64 winners over Charleston Southern last night. You had 17 off the bench from Miles Foster. You had 17 from Chase Hunter out of the starting lineup. You got a dozen out of Victor Lakin last night. Clemson, good night from the floor. They were 49.2%. More importantly, 11 of 21 from behind the arc, shot nearly 53% from range last night, collected 40 boards and 16 dimes, and turned the ball only 7 times over to the Buccaneers last night. It was efficient. It was calculated basketball. It was good basketball. It was good basketball last night from Clemson. You know, you had an opponent that you were just flat out more talented than. So what do you do in games like that? Listen, if you get a chance late in a game like that to go out there and throw down some dunks and have some OMG moments, that's all well, good, fun, spectacular. But when you are just flat out better than the other team, Go out there and play efficient basketball. Go out there, play smart basketball. Go out there, take care of the basketball. Go out there, knock down your shots. Go out there, run your sets. Go out there, win the game. It's exactly what Clemson did last night. We're going to keep an eye on this team as we move forward. Over in Columbia, South Carolina, not so fortunate were the Gamecocks. They are 0-1 with a loss to the North Florida Ospreys. Three starters in double digits last night for the Birds. Clemson did have three starters as well. A dozen from Thomas, a dozen from Davis, 17 from vet Colin Murray Boyles, who was expected to be a piece this year for the South Carolina Gamecocks. But it's a real, real simple look. You had more turnovers than they did. They out-rebounded you last night. They had more steals than you last night. They shot better from beyond the arc. 10 out of 29 from behind the arc. The Gamecocks 5 of 16 from behind the arc. In fact, really the only numbers that you can say were better for South Carolina, you had 15 assists to their 10. And you shot 46.4% from the floor to their 42%. The problem is the Gamecocks lifted 56 field goals. The Ospreys got up 69. They shot 42%. You shot 46.4% from the floor. But the quantity as well. If you keep this North Florida team to closer to like a 36, 37% percentage from the floor, you probably win this game. But, and this is something that I do not expect will be, but you better damn sure hope is not a hallmark of this team. You got out-hustled. You got outworked last night. That's it. That's it. I went back. I watched a little bit of it last night while we were wrapping up the evening. You got out-hustled. You got shoved around. You got outplayed. I mean, that's it. I was watching the post-game presser on social media last night, and Colin Murray Boyles, they were like, yo, what the hell, dog? And he said, look, man, the coaches have pointed out to us. We played lackadaisical defense. We played non-aggressive offense. We got outworked. We got outplayed. Question mark is, how much damage does this do? How much damage does it do long term? How much damage does it do to you if you end up being on the bubble again this year? How much damage does it do you mentally to drop this L this early? We'll find out. 74-71, North Florida comes up into the house and knocks off the Gamecocks. They fall to 0-1 to start the season. Finally, item number three. Hot stove season in the landscape of Major League Baseball. I am going to go ahead and tell you that MLB free agency moves, trades, and signings are going to be a water cooler cheat sheet item more often than they are not. Got a text a few minutes ago that said, Rob, can't tell you how much we don't care about baseball and hockey. Well, bad news for you. Bad news for you, because this is the second most exciting time to be a baseball fan. Why? Because after the Dodgers won the World Series, ladies and gentlemen, we're all undefeated. Everybody's got the inside track to the 2025 World Series. And what you do today will determine who is likely going to be there next year. A lot of news coming out yesterday. We will start with Gerrit Cole. Told you at the end of last week that he had declined to pick up his option to stay with the New York Yankees. And that triggered a clause in the contract that would have allowed the New York Yankees to keep Gerrit Cole on a one-year deal with a raise of about $36 million. Well, the Yankees had until Sunday night to enact that clause. They did not do so. And a lot of Yankee fans were like, oh, no news is bad news. But Yankees fans, take a breath, because Gerrit Cole looked around the landscape and said, who's got it better than us? Nobody. I'm staying with the Bronx Bombers. Gerrit Cole decides to stay with the New York Yankees, and to do so on the original contract. The Yankees played hardball with the guy who was likely the best pitcher in the American League for the past, like, couple of years, and it is Gerrit Cole who blinks first. He stays with the New York Yankees. Clayton Kershaw is officially a free agent. He gets his ring with the LA Dodgers, but decided not to return to the team, declined his $10 million player option, electing to become a free agent, was listed as one yesterday, still expected to re-sign with the Dodgers, the only team he has played for during his 17-year career, but likely at a much reduced schedule after he played very limited games this year. Rangers all-star pitcher Nathan Eovaldi has elected to become a free agent as well, declined a vested $20 million player option for next season with the Rangers. He will get a $2 million buyout from the option earned by throwing more than 300 innings over his 2 years with the Rangers after joining them in free agency. He was the winningest pitcher during their World Series clinching game at Arizona back in 2023. 5-0 with a 2.95 ERA in six postseason starts. Eovaldi was also part of Boston's run to the 2018 World Series. He is now a free agent. 13 qualifying offers handed out yesterday by Major League Baseball. Juan Soto got one from the Yankees. Corbin Burnes from the O's. Alex Bregman from the Astros. Max Fried received his qualifying offer from the Atlanta Braves yesterday. And this is interesting. Of the 13 free agents who received qualifying offers from their former teams yesterday before free agency officially began at 5 o'clock, a one-year $21.05 million contract for the season is the tender offer this year. Max Fried on that list. Willie Adams from the Milwaukee Brewers, Pete Alonso from the Mets, Anthony Santander from the Orioles, Teoscar Hernandez from the Dodgers, Nick Pivetta from the Red Sox, Christian Walker from the D-backs, Sean Manea from the Mets, Luis Severino from the Mets, and Nick Martinez from the Reds all received the tendered offer yesterday. And your last bit of news, bad news for the Atlanta Braves. Maybe even more important to get Max Fried back into the rotation if it is even possible for next year. Joe Jimenez, who was expected to be Atlanta's numero uno reliever next year, may not be available at all next year. Had knee surgery yesterday, and a timeline for return was established of 8 to 12 months after the operation. Jimenez was expected to open as one of Atlanta's top setup men. The 29-year-old had a 2.62 ERA with three saves last year. The surgery comes about a year after the Braves re-signed Jimenez to a $26 million three-year contract after trading a couple of minor leaguers over to Detroit to pick him up before the 2023 season, gave him a new deal, and now reliever number one for the Atlanta Braves, out for at least the majority of next year, potentially the entire season. We will find out what impact that may or may not have for the Atlanta Braves. All right, coming up on the show, you know what we haven't done in a while? You know what we haven't handed out in a while? You know what hardware we have not distributed? Awards. We need to hand out a few, and we'll do that coming up on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. You know, it's been a couple of weeks, and that's entirely on me and my bad. But you know, there's an old tradition that we like to undertake on Tuesdays, and that tradition is handing out the awards of the week to those who had outstanding performances.
It's been like a year because it seems.
Yeah, we did want it like week two this year, and then it just hit the skids. Entirely my fault. But that's all right because is the single most prestigious award that a college football player can win in any individual week. So let us, ladies and gentlemen, dive right in. We start with the Boise State Blue Turf Smurfs. Listen, this young man's probably going to win a award every single week. His name is Ashton Janty. Wears number two for the Blue Turf Smurfs, and he did it one more time again. 31 carries, 149 yards, and a pair of touchdowns in this one. This kid, if you're not watching this kid play, I don't know what to say to you. The dude is an absolute wagon of a running back. This dude is going to be in the show on Sundays, and he's going to be pretty good. Like, he has surpassed, oh, he's just doing it against nobodies. The man has not had a game yet under 100. His worst game was 123 yards, and people are disappointed by that. Ashton Janti. Let's go out to the Atlantic Coast Conference. Bad beat if you took the Duke Blue Devils +21.5, as I did, because they lost by 22, 53-31. Miami turned it on, 21 points in the fourth quarter, and they outlast Malik Murphy and the Duke Blue Devils. The Dukies gave it everything they had, and it looked like they had Miami whoosh, whoosh, on the ropes there for just a minute, but it is not the Blue Devils that walk out of there. Instead, it is Cam Ward, 25 of 41, 400 yards, 5 touchdowns, and a pick. In this one is Miami survives. They moved to 9-0. They didn't need the ref's help in this one because they had Cam Ward. Yes, indeed. Let's move on to the Tennessee Volunteers. They outlast the Kentucky Wildcats. The Kentucky Wildcats, remember that team everybody was telling you preseason, they're going to be good, they're going to be good, they're going to be good. I said, yo, maybe hold your horses just a bit. They got a Georgia cast off. It's starting quarterback. He's not that good. The Kentucky Wildcats aren't that good. They've given a couple of teams some games. Now, South Carolina beat the hell out of them. So did the Tennessee Volunteers, 28-18, your final. But no, it is not Nico Abialava that is your TMFINR award winner. No, it's Dylan Sampson, the running back, the workhorse, 27 carries, 142 yards, and a pair of touchdowns as he was able to just grind and grind and grind away and keep Tennessee out front of Kentucky. Kentucky jumped up early 7-0, but then they started putting the ball on the numbers of Dylan Sampson, and he carried them to the dub. Dylan Sampson is not real. Indiana 47-10 over the Michigan State Spartans. Sparty jumped out to a quick 10-0 lead, but then the Hoosiers. Hoosiers. Find it. Late, 21 points in the second, 12 more unanswered in the third, 14 more unanswered. The defense turned it on. And while I love to say that Kurt Cignetti, this time it's Curtis Rourke, the quarterback, 19 of 29, 263 yards, but he was wildly efficient with the football. 8 different Hoosiers caught the rock in this one. He tossed 4 of them into the end zone. Curtis Rourke keeps the Indiana Hoosiers undefeated. 48-25, SMU dunks on the Pitt Panthers. Remember, the SMU Stangs came into this game with 1 loss, 1 spot behind the Pitt Panthers. There were a lot of folks like Lonzo who thought that this team could be not just a dark horse to make the ACC title game, but a legitimate chance. Turns out maybe he's right. The SMU Stangs are now 8-1. And part of the reason why, Kevin Jennings, the starter, and Breshard Smith, the running back. Jennings, 17 of 25, 306 in this one. Had a couple of touchdown passes. Breshard Smith, 23 carries, 161 yards, and 2 touchdowns on the ground. It was the air it out, ground it out, balanced attack of SMU that got the job done in this one. Jennings and Smith keep SMU very much alive in the hunt for an ACC title game. The Ole Miss Running Rebels took the second L of the season on the chin. They got up off the mat after they dropped one to LSU. They beat Oklahoma last week, and then they trounced Arkansas 63-31. Your final in this one. This is what SEC teams are supposed to do to not SEC teams. Ole Miss did it to an SEC team. They put 28 points in the second quarter, 21 more in the third quarter. And who else are we going to give it to? Got to give it to him. Jackson Dart, 25 of 31, 515 yards and 6 touchdown passes. Listen, I'm not a big Jackson Dart guy. I don't see Jackson Dart as being a big threat on Sundays, but he was a damn big threat on Saturday. 515 and 6 tutties will win you a award, and it does for Jackson Dart. Army keeps it undefeated. 20-3 is your final in this one over Air Force. But wait a minute, Rob, I thought you said that they were a dark horse playoff threat. They are, my dear friends. Keep in mind, Army did not have their starting quarterback in this game. That's why they threw only 9 passes. It was old school West Point football. We're going to hand it off 43 times and we're going to run it down your throat. And if you want to stop it, you got to do it at the line. They couldn't do it. Kanye Udo, 158 yards and a pair of touchdowns on the ground for Army. He did it on 22 carries. That means he averaged 7.2 yards per carry and found pay dirt twice. Kanye Udo. North Carolina, come on and raise up the Tar Heels. Go down to Tallahassee, Florida, and walk out with Mack Brown's first ever victory over the Florida State Seminoles. Florida State falls to 1-8. They are, and this is true, I've done the math, very bad at football. Doesn't matter. The Heels get it done, and they get it done on the legs of a stud. Omarion Hampton, 32 carries, 172 yards, and 5 touchdowns. Oh, by the way, did I mention the 93 receiving yards he had as well? 172 and 4 tutties on the ground, 93 and 1 tutty through the air. That is a, count them up, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 touchdown day. Omarion Hampton is not real. He is a dog. He is a dog. If you're not watching Omari Hampton, might be the second best running back in football behind Ashton Janti. And ladies and gentlemen, how in the world do we not end it up in Columbia, South Carolina? I'm going to tell you this. I think we got to give out the 3-for. I don't think we've ever given out a three-time TMF INR award, but we're going to do that right now. We're going to start with the obvious one. Rocket Raheem Sanders, 20 carries, 144 yards, and a pair of tutties. Rocket. We're going to hand one to Josh Simon. 4 grabs, 100. Oh, by the way, Raheem, did I even mention, Lonzo, that he had 92 receiving yards on top of that? My man popped off for 230-plus all-purpose yards. He gets another one. Josh Simon, 4 grabs, 132 yards, and a pair of touchdowns. And then there's Lenoris Sellers, 13 of 27, 244 yards and a pair of touchdowns. And oh, by the way, 15 totes for 106 yards and another tutty on the ground. They came into this saying, oh, well, that's the best, that's the worst offensive line in the SEC. It's going to be a field day for our wrecking ball defense. Eat it, Aggies. Lenore Sellers answered the bell. And I would go so far as to say that Gamecock fans who were critiquing Lenora Sellers the last couple of weeks owe this young man an apology because he put the team square on that back and he toted you, along with Rocket Sanders, along with Josh Simon, into the end zone like a number of times. 2 through the air, 1 on the ground, dished out 3 more to other guys as well. Lenora Sellers, meaning that it's a trio, Lenoris, Raheem, Joshua, all catching a TMF INR in the college football weekend. We'll circle back around later in the show, and we'll do our NFL TMF INR awards as well. If you would like to submit a TMF INR award winner for the week, you can do so. 71307 is the text line. You can tweet it to me at the Rob Brown Show or go to the Odyssey app and leave your TMF INR candidate in the Ray Memorial Hotline. Real quick as we go to break, my man Joey, longtime P1 of the show, texted the show, said good vibes and energy to Greenville Memorial. My 4-year-old son just had his 5th seizure in 12 hours. Need all the help we can get. Joey, my man, good vibes, thoughts out to you. Please know, Joey, the Armada is with you. The Armada's with the boy. We are here, my man. Let us know what we can do to help, Joey. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show with the Fan.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Upstate. I have been a fan of one Mike Gundy for a very long time. I think college football, I've said this before, I think that college football is better when it has personality in it. I think college football is better when there are characters. I think college football is better when there are people in it that are entertaining, that are fun, that let their true color shine. I think college football is better off, which is why I'm very disappointed with the take that Mike Gundy had yesterday. The Oklahoma State Cowboys are having one of the toughest years they have had in a very long time, which is too bad because the Cowboys were one of the teams coming into the year that a lot of folks thought would be able to compete in the Big 12. Instead, they are 3-6 on a six-game losing streak with L's to Utah, Kansas State, West Virginia, BYU, Baylor, and now Arizona State. They got blown out 42-21 this past weekend. Well, yesterday, one Mike Gundy. You may know, he's a man. He's 54. Wow. In case anybody needed a brief reminder of their own mortality, the I'm a man, I'm 40 speech was 14 years ago.
Man, how old were you when he gave that speech?
Well, I was 14 years younger than I am today. So 24, almost 25. I turned 40 in 4 months.
We all know that.
Mm-hmm. Have I mentioned that? I'm processing. I'm dealing. Okay. You know who else is processing? Mike Gundy. Yesterday, he was on a Zoom press conference, and he got asked, in fairness, like three different times. Six-game slide, fans are unhappy. Coach, what's the deal? And this is the answer that Mike Gundy gave. Mike, I need you to speak into the microphone, please, Mike. Could you speak into the mic, please? Mike, so that we're clear, keep in mind, Dabo got busted up for this exact same take. Voiced it a little differently. Did Dabo Sweeney, but he got busted up for the same take, and he should. This whole thing that a lot of coaches have done the last few years, and again, Dabo is absolutely one of them, but this whole thing that a lot of coaches have done in recent years, which is when people look for accountability, because you're getting paid a lot of money to put out a product that people want to be a part of. And that's not to say you got to be competing for playoffs and a championship every year, but dadgummit, don't stink. Don't lose six in a row, right? When people start to look out of accountability to run and go, well, actually, they're losers. It's weak, man. It's weak. Mike, you've lost six in a row. And I was even willing to give you credit. You lost the number 12 Utah. That's a pretty good team. You lost the number 23 Kansas State. That's a pretty good team. You lost the number 13 BYU. BYU might very well be in the playoffs this year. Three of those six were to pretty good teams. But you also lost. I got blown out by almost seven West Virginia. You lost to a bad Baylor team. You lost to a bad Arizona State team. You got beat by those teams. I think one of those, actually, I don't think any of them were one-score games. You lost by 14 to West Virginia. You lost by 10 to Baylor. You lost 42-21 to Arizona State. You're getting beat. You're getting railroaded here. And so for a coach even if I like him. And I love Mike Gundy. College football is better when there are character. Have you noticed a great one? I hadn't said a damn thing about Deion Sanders in 4 weeks. Do you know why? Because Deion is not just entertaining, and he is. Even if you don't like the stuff Deion's saying, you're compelled to talk about it. It's entertaining. We love some drama. But Colorado's in the top 25 now. They're winning football games. Like, repeatedly winning football games. They got two guys in Shador and Travis that could be in New York City together as Heisman finalists. I ain't saying a word about Deion because he's entertaining and he's holding himself and his team accountable, which is something he didn't do last year, which is why I started beating up on him last year.
I still believe Travis is going to win it. And the other thing is, I hadn't heard anything from, I mean, not just you, on national stage or anywhere else, anything Deion.
Because he ain't saying anything. I think that Deion Sanders.
Yeah, but not just about that, but about the team, period.
Oh, yeah, for
sure.
So
does he have to talk for people to talk about his team?
I think there's two things going on. Number one, I will say this. I have heard a couple of things. The only things that I've heard from Deion Sanders are talking about how Travis and Shador should be invited to New York City for the Heisman celebration and pumping Travis as the Heisman favorite, which he is, by the way. The odds flipped. He is now the Heisman odds on favorite. Deion Sanders has done nothing but been promoting his boys, Travis, Shador, for the past few weeks. He's not talking about football, the abstract concepts of football, which he does a lot. He's not talking about how Colorado's getting no love. You know why? Because they are now. Why? Because they're winning football games. They start winning football games. They get into the AP Top 25 for the first time under the Deion Sanders regime. There's nothing to talk about negative, and therefore, because this has been one of my critiques, is that Deion, and I give him credit, it's a great way to keep yourself in the newspapers. Deion Sanders is a guy who, the minute somebody says something negative to him, don't get me wrong, I'm still disappointed in the way that he handled the situation with that Denver Post columnist, right? Got him banned from asking questions. I thought that was weak sauce. I still do. But you can't say anything negative about the Colorado football team right now. They're winning games. They're in the top 25. They're as good as Deion said that they were going to attempt to be. This take from Mike Gundy ain't it. To break out the... That's a weak take. This Mike, even if it's true, even if it's true. And I, you know what this comes across to me? This comes across to me as a boomer take. This comes across to me as a, them kids are out there on my lawn. You know, this next generation of kids, I just don't understand the value of hard work. They just don't understand the value of a dollar like we did back in our day. Music's not the same as it was. The TV, they have, who needs movies in 3D? That's what this sounds like, Mike.
Without trying to cause a fight here, because, you know, I'm of peace always. When is it okay for them to slap back at the media, in your eyes?
When the media crosses a line, but asking you to be accountable for a 6-game losing streak in a year that you are supposed to be contending.
What
for
is
it?
That line?
I don't know. It's like porn. I can't define it, but I know it when I see it. Thank you, Tipper Gore.
So his line is different than your line, more than likely.
Do you think a 6-game losing streak for a preseason top 3 in division is acceptable? Should I be allowed to go after Mike Norvell right now?
Again, you should be. It's your job to do that.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
But it's also your job. I think you're not untouchable. I think the media is not untouchable.
I'm not saying the media is untouchable.
And sometimes it seems like you defend the media like it's
untouchable. Do you think it is inappropriate for the media members to ask questions about the head coach of a team that has lost 6 games in a row with the talent Oklahoma State has?
No, but I think. Okay. But I also think that he doesn't have to sit back and take it, that it's okay to say something back.
I mean, even if it is, the whole take of immediately running to, because keep in mind, he didn't say the media's bad for asking these questions. The media, he said it's people out there that are losers living in their mom's basement. He went with the classic old school. But
of course, yeah.
Who, Mike? Who? Who are we talking about here? Your fans? Your fans? The people who put money into your program? The people that have been sending NIL money to you to make sure you can get and keep talent? Those people? Those people that are saying, I'm really not thrilled with my team losing six games in a row, including getting their asses kicked by three unranked teams in that stretch. You see what I'm saying? It's not about firing back. I am fine with coaches firing back at the media when it's subjective about deserved or not. Like, I may think it's not appropriate. Lonzo thinks it is. And in that case, I'm going to go, you know what? It's fair. I understand it. But Mike didn't say, you know, I'm tired of you guys in the media saying this. I'm tired of you guys asking me this question. We demand accountability. Yeah. None of that. He said, there's people out there in the world today that are losers and chumps. And, you know, they ask questions about people like me, but then they go to bed and wake up the same failure they went. Who are you talking about, Mike? Are you talking about your fans that are upset that you've lost six in a row? Are you talking about your fans that are upset that your team's not very good when they thought they were going to be? You're talking about your fans that are upset that you have put together maybe the most undisciplined football team in your entire tenure in Stillwater? Is that who you're talking about? You see what I'm saying here? This isn't him going after the media for asking. I get it. I have been to press conferences before where like three or four or five different media members will ask the same question four or five times. And don't get me wrong. Sometimes there's a good reason for that. Sometimes it's because the head man in charge, the BMOC, the head coach, the visor wearer, the clipboard holder, sometimes they don't give an acceptable answer. They don't give an answer that speaks. Remember, the media is, in an ideal world, and there are a lot of media members who do not act in this capacity, and I understand that, and I call them out faster than anybody else. You have heard me rip on the hot take artist all the time. I have gotten in fights with active coworkers over clickbaity hot take artist bull crap that they have put out there to get attention. I have inside sources that say, here's this story. I'm not going to tell you what the story is about this coach, but this story about this coach, and that means he's right at, and you do it for attention.
Most accurate accent you've ever done.
I will go after that, and Lonzo can attest to this. I will go after that in a way that creates a war between me and an active coworker because I think it's bullcrap, okay? Making stuff up. But sometimes.
Sometimes you just make a phone call to Columbia.
Sometimes. That too. Sometimes what you do is you ask a guy the same question a couple of times because he gives you a bullcrap answer. Like this one, Mike. Like this one. Hey, Mike, your team has lost six in a row, including getting the hell beat out of you by three unranked teams in that stretch. This isn't bad. This isn't good. This isn't good. Well, you know, some people out there are losers. Who, Mike? Who's the losers? Because I got to tell you, your team's lost six in a row. If there's anybody in this conversation that can be labeled as actual losers, it's you, bud. It's your team. So, would you like to answer for that, or are you going to shove the whole thing off somewhere else? And the reason I'm pointing this out is, remember, this was almost, although he did it with a lot more, let's say, sensitivity and sensibility. Is this not almost the exact same line of logic that Dabo used this offseason when he was being questioned? You know, winning is hard. People out there just don't understand because, you know, not everybody out there is a winner. Winning's hard. It's tough to do. Hey, coach, it's literally your job. It's literally your job. I'm not saying it's not hard. I'm saying it's literally your job. And if you're not doing, my job is to come in here and do a good radio show. And if I come in here and I do a booty cheeks radio show, and then the next day my boss goes, hey, Rob, your show sucked yesterday. What happened? And I go, hey, boss, doing a radio show is hard. You know what he's going to say? That's why I pay you, you jackass. Go do it.
I thought you were going to say, yeah, Lonzo was not good. You know, tried to carry him, but, you know, this is who you gave me.
If I roll up in here and I do a bad show and the boss calls me to the carpet and he says, you did a bad show. Why'd you do a bad show? And I go, hey, boss, doing a good show is hard. Not everybody can do a good show. And that's true. There's some bad shows out there. Y'all know it. But if I go in there and I say, hey, doing a good show's hard, boss, doing a radio show's tough work, it's hard, not everybody can do it, that doesn't mean he's going to go, oh, you know, I didn't think about it that way. I didn't think about it. I didn't really put that two and two together to get that four. I didn't understand. I didn't think about that. You're right, Rob. Don't worry about doing a good show. Don't worry about it. No, I'm getting canned if I say that.
No, if he says that to you, man, you're scared to death.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But you get the point. You get the point. Whether it is because some of y'all said this offseason, oh, Rob beating up on Dabo. No, it's not. No, it's not. It is the same standard I will hold to everybody, including Mike Gundy, who I actively like, am entertained by, root for Mike Gundy. But this take, this whole, if you ain't down with me, you're a loser and you're a failure. I'm not Mike. I have a house and a new car and a wife and a job and friends and I make money and I enjoy my life every single day. I'm not a failure at all. And yet here I am questioning you. So what next? Michael, what next? Texter said, okay, Rob, time to move on. The horse is dead. Oh, well, Texter said it's time to go to break, Alonzo. So, sports flash.
My leg hurts. I kicked that horse one too many times. Kansas City Chiefs remain undefeated after a 30-24 win over Tampa Bay in overtime last night. The 8-0 Chiefs were led by Patrick Mahomes, 3 touchdown passes and 291 passing yards, 10 of which went to Travis Kelce. Nuke Hopkins ended the night with 86 receiving yards and 2 touchdowns. Looked good, too, by the way. While Kareem Hunt ran for 106 yards and a score, Tampa quarterback Baker Mayfield threw for 200 yards and 2 scores in the loss. Lamont Paris, the South Carolina Gamecocks, got shocked in their opener, dropping a 74-71 decision to the North Florida Ospreys. The Gamecocks shot 46% from 4, but allowed 10 threes to the Ospreys and allowed North Florida to out-rebound them 43-37. Tune in Saturday at 12:30 as Furman Paladins take on the Wofford Terriers. It's Furman versus Wofford right here on your home for Paladins football, The Fan, Upstate.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.